Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Aledio.com Sports Station. Two Wisconsin guys talking Wisconsin sports in the morning. Broadcasting live on the Radio.com app. 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan. It's time for Chuck and Winkler in the Morning. Live from the Bryant and Stratton Bobcat Studios.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletics Studios. He's Chuck Freeman. I'm Ryan Horvath. 414-799-1250 gets you on the air. You could also tweet at the station, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and anything you missed today and every day you could catch at the radio.com app. Packers get set for preseason game number 3 tonight in Canada. They'll take on the Oakland Raiders. Derek Carr, John Gruden, and Antonio Brown, who will not be in action because he continues to search for a new football helmet and a new pair of feet.
Does he really even want to play football anymore?
Antonio Brown?
I question some of these. I mean, Ezekiel, does he really want to play?
He just wants to get paid.
Okay. He signed a contract, didn't he, once at one time in his life? Okay.
Rookie deal. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But he signed it, though.
You know what? He's still got 2 years left on that deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, if you're Ezekiel Elliott, what Ezekiel Elliott's doing is insane. What they're both doing is insane. I get holding out when you're on the final year of that deal, but like Melvin Gordon, Ezekiel Elliott, I don't quite understand what they're thinking.
But you should, holding out on the final year of your deal, hold out when the contract is done and you don't have a contract, then you don't have a contract, then you're a free agent.
Well, I understand guys not wanting to get the franchise tag. I mean, I would take the franchise tag because I could use $13, $14 million or whatever it is at this point.
Yeah, and I get the franchise. I get the franchise tag, then the owner, the Players Association should agree to it. Should never have agreed to that. That's on them. You know, they had something to say about that, and they had chose to agree with the franchise tag.
I think what's going on with Ezekiel Elliott, and we were talking about this a little bit last week, especially with Jerry Jones, he just does not like to pay skill position players. He didn't want to pay Emmitt Smith. We talked about that. It was you and I, Frames. Mm-hmm. Emmitt Smith held out, the first two games of the season right after the Cowboys won the Super Bowl because he gave all that money, that big contract to Troy Aikman, just like he'll probably end up giving Dak Prescott $35 million or $40 million a year, but he doesn't want to pay Ezekiel Elliott. And that's the one case where I know the theory is you could just stick anybody back in the backfield in today's NFL if you have a good enough offensive line, which the Cowboys do have. But Zeke is special. He's something else.
Melvin Gordon, on the other hand,
I love Melvin Gordon. But the Chargers, for what they're looking for, because now they're saying that holdout will continue into the season. Melvin Gordon probably won't play week one.
He's just not going to get paid. The shelf life of these guys, especially running backs, isn't very long. All right. And you go back to Sean Alexander. He had his holdout with Seattle several years ago, and he's kind of started this. And they signed him to a contract, and then he was bad. And then teams will think, okay, this guy held out on us. We're not going to keep this guy around. If he held on us and he's bad, why would we even give him an opportunity anymore? No, done. Tell you what, these holdouts, teams remember these things, and it'll come back to bite them down the road.
No, it definitely will. And like you look at the Melvin Gordon situation, so now you have to look at all avenues now. Maybe you trade them, but the problem is the Chargers are looking for a first-round draft pick. Nobody's given up a first-round draft pick for any running back in this league.
No.
Not happening.
You know what? They shouldn't be forced to do that, though. Gordon's got a contract. Unless he doesn't have a contract, okay, then he's a free agent, but he's got a contract. Honor the contract. Be an honorable person. You signed the contract. The team showed faith in you by drafting you and signing you a few years ago. You fulfill that contract. I never could understand the holdout deals. I just don't like it. I just think it's wrong. You have a deal, you have a deal. You know? I mean, sometimes these guys get paid for underperforming. Teams aren't holding out on them. They still get paid. It's just, there's something wrong on that. when, you, when you're holding out right before training camp or holding a team hostage. It's like Sterling Sharp tried doing that to the Packers several years ago. And the night before the first game, said he wasn't going to play until he got a new deal. Well, he ended up playing, but it was dumb. It was dumb on what he tried to do. So holding out, bad move.
It is, and if you're holding out on our golf outing, that's an even worse move because it's just $125 for a great day of golfing. Also, you get breakfast, lunch, and dinner from Perkins, Roberts Specialty Meats, and Saz's. Like I said, $125. Get all the details. Sign up right now, 1057fmthefan.com, the 13th annual Perkins Restaurant and Bakery's Fan Charity Golf Outing, which benefits Give Kids the World, September 25th at Western Lakes Golf Club in Pewaukee.
And it's Give the Kids the World. They've been with us for quite a while now. It's a terrific foundation, and it benefits that. And you'll hear all, what it's all about once you come to the event. $125 is a terrific price. And get your foursome together. You'll never know who you'll get paired with, but you'll get paired with somebody good, and you'll have a fun time. Everybody who's ever been to our golf outing, always, I've heard from many people over the years, and they walk away and say, this is well worth it. And the price this year at $125, fall golf with the food, as you all mentioned there, Harvey, it's going to be a great day.
Doesn't get much better than that. We're going to talk more Packers preseason football. What do you hope to see tonight? But coming up next, we're going to talk with Scott Miller. He's on SiriusXM on their MLB network on that station. Also, he covers Major League Baseball nationally for Bleacher Report. He's been around forever. He knows everything about the game. I want to talk to him a little bit about the juice ball theory that you and I disagree on, Frames. I want to talk to him a little bit about the mercy rule, and then obviously about the NL Central and the mess that is the NL Central. Brewers, 3.5 games back of the Cubs. We talk about it with Scott Miller next here on Chuck and Winkler with Chuck Freeman and Ryan Horvath.
Now, a Chili's Green and Gold update, presented by Chili's 3 for $10 deal and the Radisson Hotel and Conference Center, Green Bay. Here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers face the Oakland Raiders tonight, game time 7 o'clock. After two games, the Packers have only rushed for a total of 150 yards, including scrambles by the quarterbacks. Why has the run game not been more productive in the preseason? Packers offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett.
It's we've had too many mental errors, I think, in some basic things. And for any play, it takes all 11. And anytime you have one guy, and it's hard because as a team, you look at there and a guy might have one mental error. But if you have 11 guys make one mental error on 11 separate plays, that could, it's one of those things, everybody just understanding your role and understanding the simplicity of the things we want to get done and just executing it.
Offensive lineman Lane Taylor was asked if the run game has improved this week.
I think we've been doing good. Things have been busting at practice. And we just, actually in the game, it's been close. It's just been one or two blocks away from really opening up. So I think it'll come together.
Lane Taylor's now in competition for his job with rookie Elton Jenkins for the starting left guard position, something that Taylor inherited when Josh Sitton was surprisingly cut by the team at the end of training camp 3 years ago.
Yeah, it definitely, you know, I kind of came, you know, the back door through everything. So, you know, I wasn't just handed a spot or anything, so I had to work for it. So it's all kind of part of my career. It's all part of the process, part of the league. So you're not going to go throughout your career without a little competition.
At right tackle, 30-year-old Brian Bulaga is entering the final year of his contract in Green Bay.
For me personally, it's all the more games we win, the better for me. I mean, that's as simple as that. If I'm doing what I need to do, playing good football, the team, I'm helping the offense, helping the team do their job. And all that other stuff takes care of itself.
And the competition at place kicker continues. Sam Ficken, who converted a 63-yard field goal on family night, has made all of his kicks in practice the past 2 weeks, matching all of the field goal attempts by veteran Mason Crosby.
I can't worry about anything that he's doing. For me, it's always just about, you know, my process and how I go about my business and make sure that you know, I'm ready to go from week one. So my process now still, like it has always been through spring, through this time, is to always build and to be the, you know, the best version of myself as a kicker come week one.
More at 1057fmthefan.com.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries from the Bryan and Stratton College Athletic Studios. He's Chuck Freeman filling in for Bart Winkler for a few more days. I'm Ryan Horvath. Bart will be back with the show on Monday. Joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, it's Scott Miller, national MLB columnist for Bleacher Report, Turner Sports, as well as SiriusXM MLB Network Radio. Scott, thanks for giving us a couple minutes and waking up early with us today.
Hey, Ron. Hey, Chuck. How are you guys today?
Hey, great to have you on, Scott. This NL Central Division race is, I guess it's interesting. I mean, you got the three teams in here. I mean, you got nobody really running away the division, but there's nobody really. Is there anybody of championship form in the division, though?
No, that's a good question. I think, you look at the entire National League, it is hard to see anybody but the Los Angeles Dodgers playing in the World Series for a third consecutive year. To your point about championship form, I think, the whole key is going to be, almost like the NCAA basketball tournament where somebody needs to get hot at the right moment, because I think wire to wire, there's no question the Dodgers are the deepest, the strongest, the best in the league. If all of a sudden, the Brewers start hitting, if the Cubs find some pitching, if St. Louis finds some consistency, and any of that happens and they go on, one of those teams goes on, one of those runs where they get really hot in September, kind of like the Brewers did last year, and then they took the Dodgers to game seven. I mean, that's about the only championship form I see right now.
Scott, what do you make of the Chicago Cubs? Because they're so good at Wrigley Field, but they go a couple miles outside of Chicago, and it's like they're the last place team in the NL Central. I've never quite seen anything like it.
Yeah, it's bizarre, isn't it? It's like, they forgot what they don't know how to pack or their suitcases or something. I mean, they get uncomfortable. They don't like the road, the beds on the road. I mean, it's bizarre. Yeah, you're right. I mean, they're 43-19 at home. And yet on the road, they're 25-39, 14 games under 500. I don't know. I mean, they played a wild one last night, by the way, didn't they?
Yeah.
One of those wind-blowing-out classic games with the Giants. But, really good move at the trade deadline, obviously. Nick Castellanos has just been a godsend for them. He's really stirred up their lineup. But, the road stuff's bizarre. I mean, pitching's been inconsistent. John Lester's not had his best season. Cole Hamels was out for a while on the injured list. The thing is, nobody in Chicago has any idea. I mean, Joe Maddon will tell you, we can't figure it out. We don't know what the deal is with these home road splits.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is I listened to some Chicago sports talk, and they're calling for Joe Maddon's head. If the Cubs miss the postseason, I would expect him to be gone. Maybe even if they make the postseason, he's still gone. What are your impressions of Craig Counsell as manager for the Brewers, especially if the Brewers do miss out on the postseason this year?
Yeah, steady form. I like Craig a lot. I think he's been very good in Milwaukee. It had helped. I mean, I know the pitching numbers are fairly good right now, but I thought last year and this year it would help if they get him another starting pitcher. I think given what he's had to work with on the mound, last year obviously the bullpen was killer. This year, good, but I think to expect the bullpen to rise to the level of what they did last year, going into this year would have been just, it was impossible. I don't think any reasonable person going into this year could have said, Knievel's going to do what he did last year. Jeffers is going to do what he did. Hader's going to do what he did. It does look like they worked a couple of those guys too hard last year. But still, that said, Council's been able to mix and match. I think he's got a good feel for the game. I think overall he's been real good, but, like to your point, I know, if the Brewers miss the playoffs, there's going to be some people saying, the manager always gets blamed,
yep.
Doesn't he?
Yeah, it's already going on here. You brought up the National League and just how the Dodgers are kind of the class of the National League. I mean, you look at what they're doing this year. Their run differential is crazy. I think they have 12 walk-off wins, so they just keep finding a way to win. When you look around the National League, I know we kind of went over the NL Central. Which team do you think gives them the best run? Is it the Braves, or is it a team maybe like the Nationals who are all of a sudden getting hot?
Yeah, I keep saying the Nationals are the team that could really give somebody trouble because – when Max Scherzer, assuming Max Scherzer gets healthy and comes back, you got Scherzer, Strasburg's had a great year, and Patrick Corbin's tough. I would not want to face those guys in a short playoff series. Atlanta, top to bottom, is in their lineup. You know, they could give people fits with Acuna Jr., you know, and Freddie Freeman, but I don't. Once you get to October, it's pitching, 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 and I'm not sure, outside of Soroka, that Atlanta's that formidable. Washington, for the reasons I'd mentioned, you know, I think their season hinges on Scherzer and his health, and if he can, if he's the Max Scherzer of old, you know, that's the team. I mean, even if you say they get in as a wild card team, right? Who wants to face Max Scherzer in a one game playoff? And then you move on, and you got those other horses.
The Brewers, back to them, they have a guy, they have two guys who are going to be probably free agents in the offseason, Mike Moustakas and Yasmani Grandal. They're on one-year deals with Milwaukee. Do you see either one of those guys cashing in, or both guys cashing in, after having all-star type seasons with the Brewers this year?
Yeah, I see. You would think Grandal would cash in. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, obviously he made an interesting decision over the winter, you know, signing the one-year deal with Milwaukee. You know, and whether catching is such a premium position that, you know, I think odds are better him. You know, we've seen Moustakas 2 years in a row, you know, have to settle for the one-term deal that, you know, he thinks is less, you know, less than he was going to get. And, you know, I think I would say Grandal has a better chance than cashing in on a long-term deal. I will say, you know, where Moustakas is concerned, you know, one thing about all these zillions of home runs that are being hit right now across the game, and we're going to have, you know, not only are we going to have a record-setting year this year, but, you know, the previous record across the majors for most homers in a season was 2017, and this year's total is going to surpass that by, like, more than 10%. It's crazy how many homers are being hit. Reason I mention that is, you know, within that, and it's how you get to a record like this, we're going to end up with 120 or 30 players with 20 or more homers. So what that does, again, thinking of Moustakas, when everybody in the doggone league is hitting 20 or more homers, that's just going to suppress salaries, you know, I mean, for home run hitters, because, you know, I think that's part of what's happened to Moustakas the last 2 years. But, you know, again, this year he's had a very nice year for himself. But, you know, when push comes to shove on the free agent market this year, you know, I think you're going to see teams that are like, well, you know, I mean, Moustakas is at 31 home runs right now. So granted, that's more than your 20 or so that your garden variety hitters having. But at the same time, it's going to be a case of, you know, clubs, I don't think, are going to go out and pay the big, big, big dollars for a guy like Moustakas that can put the ball in the seats as often as he is, because there's a lot of other guys that are putting the ball in the seats. So that's where I say I think all these home runs are going to suppress some salaries. I think that's what we've seen the last couple of years on the free agent market.
We're talking with Scott Miller, national MLB columnist for Bleacher Report and Turner Sports. And Scott, I'm glad that you brought up the home run totals, because Chuck and I have been arguing over the ball. First question, do you think the ball is juiced?
I say no question. I mean, especially compared to what it was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago. I mean, I saw Jose Martinez, the Cardinals right fielder. I couldn't help but notice it. Batting practice one day earlier this year, I think it was in May. I'm in Atlanta. Cardinals are in Atlanta. And I'm just on the field, you know. And he happened to catch my eye because, first of all, Jose Martinez is, you know, like 6'6",
yeah,
and gangly like Big Bird. But he's going from the third base dugout to right field during batting practice. He's going out to take his position. As he's kind of walking. As he's walking across the infield, he's about the shortstop position, he's got a baseball, he bounces it into the ground hard, it comes up about waist level, he catches it one-handed, bounce again, catch, bounce, catch, up to about waist level. I mean, he looked like an NBA point guard coming down, I mean, bouncing, dribbling a basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, come on, there's so much bounce in these balls.
Right. I have this theory, and tell me if I'm crazy. I think the ball is juiced for big series, right? Like division rivals, like Cubs, Cardinals, ball's juiced. Cubs, Brewers at Miller Park. Kyle Schwarber didn't even extend his arms full, and he knocked one out opposite field. And then Yankees, Red Sox. Then for some reason, the Yankees and Orioles, I think they juiced the balls. Am I crazy to think that maybe the ball is only juiced for the bigger games?
Well, I would say you're giving an awful lot of credence to both the deviousness and the intelligence of people in the MLB office to try to manipulate things that way.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. I'd have to look at the numbers. I haven't studied. You know, I mean, you're right. The ball seems to be extra juiced for the Yankees-Orioles series. There's no question. I mean, that's just been ludicrous this year, how many homers the Yankees have bludgeoned against the Orioles and winning, 16 games in a row against them.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, I think there's no question. Baseball's, you know, they're scratching their heads. They're perplexed. It was a big topic at the All-Star game. You know, Commissioner Rob Manfred spoke at a lunch with the Baseball Writers Association, and, you know, he admits there's a ton of homers. He won't admit that they've done anything with the ball. You know, you've seen, I'm sure, the comments over the summer where he said, you know, the conspiracy theory, and this would jive with your point.
Yeah.
Is, you know, that a year ago, you know, MLB owners bought Rawlings, you know, so the company making the balls is owned by the owners, and that's where a lot of people are like, okay, wait a minute, time out. You know, what Manfred says, look, the owners don't want home runs, you know, they think there's too many, he says there's nothing funny going on, but I would not be surprised if this winter sometime baseball says we're going to deaden the ball a little bit. You know, not deaden it to like dead ball era in the 1915s. But I would be surprised if they end up deadening it a little bit.
One more controversy is, what's your opinion on the mercy rule in Major League Baseball after Aaron Boone's comments? What do you think about that, about a mercy rule?
Would you know, work? I think. I don't think so. I mean, what are we, Little League? Come on. I saw those comments from Aaron Boone, and the manager of the New York Yankees, nonetheless. I think teams need to get better. I think, you know, this didn't even come up until we're in this era now of, you know, clubs don't want to be in the middle. You know, you have to be, if you're not going to be a contender, you know, as you've seen, people follow the Houston Astros model, and you get if you're not going to be a contender, you know, you get the Orioles and the Miami Marlins and the, you know, Detroit Tigers ripping things down to the base and starting over. And, I mean, there's so many teams right now that are so bad, and it's not good for the product. And, you know, I don't know how, you know, when you look at this, that, I mean, attendance is down for like a fourth year in a row. And, you know, it's a great game. I've covered it for 30 years or so. I mean, I've invested my life in it. I think it's the greatest game around. But there's some things going on right now that I think they need to clean up. And, you know, however you change the rules to incentivize teams to not lose to the extent they're losing, I think they need to take a hard look at that. And I would say the mercy rule for me is within that. I mean, you know, I get it that Aaron Boone doesn't want relievers to pitch, and nor does Alex Cora. He came out and said something similar the other day, Boston's manager. And it's all position players pitching that it's become they're too. When it used to happen a couple times a year, it'd be kind of funny, you know, people to enjoy it. But I mean, it's like almost every week, multiple times now, and it's not a good look for the game. I don't blame the managers for not, you know, for being worried about their position guys going to the mound and getting hurt. But, you know, I mean, I could probably go on another hour on this one. And I won't. I don't worry. But the way pitchers are being developed plays into this, I think, as well. And I should say the way they're not being developed. I mean, you know, we've got openers now. We've got starting pitchers that unless you're Justin Verlander or Max Scherzer, you rarely see a starter go past the fifth or sixth inning. And it's so it consequently clubs need to, you know, they need about 70% of their roster, it seems like, has to be pitchers these days. And then you still run out of pitchers. You know, I think it's mismanagement. Clubs aren't developing pitchers all the way around. So anyway, that's what I think of the mercy rule idea.
No, thank you very much, because I totally agree with everything.
You know, you talk about the attendance figures that are dipping in the last 4 years or so. Is there still a problem, do you think, Major League Baseball targeting the younger people, younger generation? Are they still not buying into baseball maybe like, you know, 30 years ago?
You know, that could be. I'm not sure. I mean, there are probably a number of reasons for the attendance. I think some of it is what I just laid out. If you're in Baltimore and the Yankees come to town, you know, why would you ever buy a ticket to a game to see the Yankees win, you know, 18-2 and hit seven more home runs and have your local Orioles, you know, look like the Bad News Bears? I mean, I think there's some competitive imbalance that plays into it. I do think, you know, I agree that baseball needs to hook the millennials or whatever you want to call them anymore. I mean, every sport, every generation, right? You've got to be attractive to the next generation of young fans coming up because they're the future. Mm-hmm. So I don't mind baseball trying to do that, but I think that to me, there's a battle for baseball's soul going on right now, you know, between some of the rapid-fire changes we've seen in the last few years. You know, many brought on by analytics, some of the stuff we talked about, the way, you know, the pitching is handled, et cetera, et cetera. Some of the analytics versus some of the old-school stuff. You know, I think that's, to me, at the heart of kind of a battle, what I call battle for baseball soul, because, you know, right now it's hard to please everybody. And, you know, you've got the old school fans that are the purists of the game that have been there forever. Some of them embrace analytics. Some of them don't. You're turning some of them off by analytics. But yet you look at analytics and it's a very smart way to do things. So why not use analytics? And then, you know, you get, you know, old fans versus new fans, and some people like it, some people don't. There are a number of reasons, and I don't know that it's just baseball trying to aim for the kids. You know, one thing with the kids, I mean, I don't know if this is the case. I mean, I'm sure several studies would have to be done, but, you know, we've talked for years about baseball being short-sighted and doing so many things just to grab the money, right? The TV contracts they signed. I mean, and for the last couple of decades, 20, 30 years now, since the strike, baseball's done a marvelous job of raking in the money, right? It's a $12 billion industry right now or whatever it is. And that's all very, very important. You know, opening new ballparks had a big effect with that. You know, the TV rights. But within that, you know, they let TV run the game, and we've talked, you know, I mean, there hasn't been a day World Series game since I think 1984, maybe 85. I think 84 was it. So we've also had a whole generation of fans grow up where when they were at school age, they never saw the end of a World Series game because they were playing at 1 or 2 or 3 in the morning. And so whereas some of the older baseball fans, you know, they go back to like in October, you know, racing home from school to see a World Series game, and they have these indelible memories in their brain that help them become passionate baseball fans. You know, for the last couple of decades, the World Series, you know, young fans have been able to see, you know, the first couple innings of the game, and then they all have to go to bed, even adults, because they have to go to work. And you know, I would venture to say, I don't know what the percentage is, but maybe even – might not be 50%, but I'm going to say it's at least, you know, 10% of the reason for declining attendance is that there's not these collective memories of the World Series and key October moments the way fans that grew up with the game in the 60s, 70s, and 80s have them.
Although I got to make a correction. I remember game 6 of the World Series between the Twins and Cardinals was a 3 o'clock start because my car got stalled on Hennepin Street in a bad area of Minneapolis after the game. I remember.
So that covered was that 87.
Game. Yeah, 87. I covered
World Series. So,
yeah, I covered that series. Yeah, I covered that series in Minneapolis. Yeah. So, but I remember it was a 3 o'clock start.
Day game. Okay.
Yeah, Juan Baringer, I think, was a starting pitcher.
That was one of the last of the day game starts, then I would venture to see. I think once we hit, say, 1990, we don't, we haven't had any.
Yeah.
Scott, thanks a lot, man. Thanks for waking up early with us.
Thanks, Scott.
You got it, guys.
Good
enjoyed
stuff.
The conversation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's Scott Miller. You could find his work over at Bleacher Report, where he covers baseball nationally, as well as Turner Sports and Sirius XM MLB Network Radio. He joined us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019. Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. We went really, really long there with Scott, so we'll be back to wrap things up here. It's Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries from the Bryan and Stratton College Athletic Studios. He's Chuck Freeman. I'm Ryan Horvath. Final few minutes of the show. Bill Michaels up next from 10 to 2. Wendy's Big Show to follow today from 2 to 6 as we get you all set for Packers Raiders tonight in Canada. Quick reminder to follow that game. Bill Michaels, former Packer and Badger Gary Ellerson, will host the Uptown Motors Green and Gold postgame show, breaking down all of tonight's action. Frames, my plans for the evening: go home, get set for some preseason football. No Brewers baseball tonight, so could just concentrate all on football, fire up the grill, maybe throw some ribs on a stick on that bad
boy.
Yeah,
I know you've been out there. You didn't say you didn't say hello to my buddy Paul when you're out there. Next time you go out there, you didn't see him, did you?
I didn't see him though.
He's probably in the back carving up meat.
Yeah, I didn't see him. It was a quick in and out. I had to pick my kid up from daycare, so it was like I got 20 minutes to pick up some meat. Got to do the damn thing.
Out on Sunset Drive at Waukesha, Robert Specialty Meats. They're going to be at our 13th annual WSSP charity golf outing on the 25th of September, but you don't have to wait until then to get the great tasting meat from Robert Specialty Meats. Paul Roberts, as I mentioned there, he's a man's man. He's got a lot of delicious options to make dinner time the best time, from the USDA prime cut steaks, the prime beef tenderloins, the gourmet burgers. You know I love the half-pound beef brisket burger.
Oh, that thing is so good. My mouth's watering right now.
In fact, we're thinking about I'm going to be probably throwing a couple of those on the grill tonight.
Gonna
do a little golfing, come back, throw some of those on the grill, and then settle in for a bad preseason game up in Winnipeg. So that should be fun. But Robert's Special Meats is going to be the highlight of my night, and with their tailgating this weekend at Miller Park. Whatever you're doing, backyard or whatever, temperatures are going to be great. Robert's ribs on a stick, the boneless pork ribs marinated in a smoky barbecue sauce. Or how about the equally popular chicken skewers in barbecue, garlic parmesan, Door County cherry flavors? Don't complain to me. If you go to the store or you go to some other place and you say, man, this isn't the kind of things Freeman is talking about, it's because you didn't go to Robert's Specialty Meats. There is no imitate. There's awful. A lot of people trying to imitate him, but it's never duplicated because Paul Roberts has got the special sauce. He's got the ribs on a stick. The boneless pork ribs in a specially smoky barbecue sauce that are just fantastic, all ready to heat up in minutes and serve right to your grill, right off your grill, right onto your plate. 262-549 meat. Be sure to pick some up their cherry wood smoked beef sticks as well, or the jerky, the perfect snack treats. So grilling out this weekend, Packer game tonight. Robert Specialty Meats, stop by Sunset Drive at Waukesha. Easy to get to from all directions. Steaks, ribs on a stick, burgers, chicken skewers. He's got it all. For the best of meats, it's Robert Specialty Meats, Sunset Drive at Waukesha.
And maybe you aren't interested in preseason football because it doesn't count. Maybe high school football more your thing. And the season begins tonight over on My24 Milwaukee. You could check out Thursday Night Lights. I believe this is their 10th or 11th season.
I want to
say their 10th season.
10th season, yes.
So there you go. There's a game that actually matters. And you could see our own Mike McGivern on the sidelines. You could catch his shows as well coming up this Saturday. Special thanks to J.R. Radcliffe, Ben Wargle, Ryan Wood, Kalen Kaler, Scott Miller, and our own Mike Clemens for their efforts today helping make this show go round. Freems, I have a quick question before we get out of here. Do you still read magazines?
Yeah, I do. It's funny. I just picked up a magazine the other day, Golf Digest.
Golf Digest.
Yes. Yeah. I still like reading magazines in their form. Now, I don't subscribe to Sports Illustrated anymore because it's like every 2 weeks, and that's not good enough. I mean, SI should be out every week. But I still like reading them if they're there. But most of the reading I do is off the iPad.
Yeah, I get one magazine. I don't even get ESPN. Well, ESPN the magazine is pretty much done. I still get Sports Illustrated, And then I get Men's Health. And mainly because I can't get out of it. I had somebody come and sell me the magazine subscription. So I did Sports Illustrated. I re-upped. And then I re-upped on Men's Health. I thought that I was doing a year, like a 12-month subscription, and ended up being like 3 years. So these things just come and keep coming and coming, this Men's
Health. But I bet you got the subscription for like 10 bucks.
No, I wish. I'm not going to say, because I think my wife's listening, because she just texted me. But anyway, I was reading it, going through an article this morning on the toilet. I don't know how to sugarcoat that. Anyway, it's called "These Are the Celebrities Men and Women Fantasize About the Most."
Okay.
Jessica Alba does not make the list. Blake Lively does not make the list. If I had to ask you, the female celebrity men fantasize about the most, number one on that list, who do you think it would be?
I would probably say, I don't know, who's the hot actress today? You know how I am in pop culture. I'm just like way off on pop culture.
Well, there's a top
I'm like 35 years behind.
Well, one of your girls is in this top
I'd give you the answer, Farrah Fawcett, but she's dead.
Yeah, Kelly McGillis and Daryl Hannah are not on the list, Freems.
Yes. Okay. So that would be my guess. Those would be two of my other ones. But even that's like after my time.
Number two on that list is your girl, though.
Who? Jessica Simpson?
No, other than Jessica Simpson.
Who's
any
that?
Other celebrity you could have.
Who?
Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, Jennifer Aniston. Okay.
Or is that Bart's number one?
No, I like Jennifer. I mean,
Jennifer's
like right.
Aniston.
Yeah, a little drama there. But yeah, I mean, she's like my age group, you know, blonde hair. But she's got to be able to golf. And I heard Jennifer doesn't golf.
So Kate Upton is number four.
Yeah.
Number three, Jennifer Lawrence. Number two, Jennifer Aniston.
Jennifer
and number
Lawrence?
One,
yeah, she does
Scarlett
those commercials.
Joe.
Jennifer
yeah.
Lawrence, she does those commercials. Yeah, she comes across as a little bit of, you know, a little bit of space case, but that's okay. That's okay. I don't mind a little, you know. Yeah. I mind a little bit of an airhead.
You know, I like her. Anyway, special thanks to all of our guests, J.R. Radcliffe, Ben Wargle, Ryan Wood, Kalen Kaler, Scott Miller, and our own Mike Clemens. Packers, Raiders coming up tonight, preseason game number three. Following the game, Bill Michaels, Gary Ellerson with the Uptown Motors Green and Gold postgame show to follow. Freems, enjoy your weekend, my brother.
All right, my man.
We'll see you guys tomorrow. Chuck and Winkler, 6 to 10, closing out the week on a Friday, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.